O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Pentecost Sunday prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, now that you've been reminded for about the eighth time that today is Pentecost Sunday, today is the day we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles 50 days after Easter. 50 days after life defeated death. 50 days after grace defeated sin. 50 days after Jesus Christ rose victorious, the disciples were descended upon by God's Holy Spirit. And we continued to tell this story and examine its ramifications all of these centuries later. Call me a church nerd, but Pentecost is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, one of my favorite days of the year. Unlike Christmas, and to a lesser degree, Easter, Pentecost has not yet been commercialized. This day still belongs to the church. And another reason why I love Pentecost, I love it for its energetic imagery that's associated with this story. This is the day when the church brings out the warm colors, reds, oranges, and yellow. This is the day that we celebrate the symbols that accompany the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day that the church was born. One of the symbols for Pentecost, and many of you know it, it's familiar, is wind. Howling, swirling wind, the symbol of God close to us, God's very presence. It was the wind of God that blew through that upper room, that blew out that dank air of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And instead, in its wake, the tenor of that room changed as that fresh breeze resulted in the sound of worship, prayer in different languages, the sounds of praise. And as Ray Lynn said, this wind blew so loud and so hard that it blew open the door of the upper room so that the disciples would spread out to the streets to announce the good news of Christ to all who would hear. Wind has always been a powerful image for when the church tells this story. Fire is an unmistakable symbol for the Pentecost Spirit. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit that finally illuminated the disciples 50 days after the resurrection to finally show them their path, their purpose, what Jesus had next for them. The light pierced the darkness of their uncertainty and gave a clear path. The disciples were to take all that they had received from Jesus, including the light of Christ, and now share it with everyone, both Jew and Gentile alike. The fire of the Holy Spirit illuminated the purpose for the apostles' lives. Fresh winds and direction illuminating fire are powerful symbols that help us get in touch with God's Spirit today. But there is one more Pentecost symbol that I know I've never considered. I'd like to put forth for our consideration. And that's the symbol of earth, the soil, the ground, as an image of Pentecost, the Spirit with us. In a moment after communion, and when we step outside for groundbreaking, and I don't know what the weather will be like. My homily today is entitled Earth, Wind, and Fire. There may be a little water when we gather out there for groundbreaking. That's okay. I promise you won't melt, and it's only a few minutes out there. But in a moment, when we gather for groundbreaking, Pastor Dave is going to share with us a text from the Old Testament. I've never heard it read on Pentecost. It's a familiar story. It's the story of Moses's encounter with God at the burning bush. There is the symbol of fire. There is the symbol of the Spirit long before the upper room and the disciples' empowerment. It's in this moment of epiphany the divine and human encounter that the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, reveals God's name to Moses. I am that I am. But at the burning bush, God does more than reveal his name. He shares his heart. He says, I've seen the oppression of my chosen ones, the Hebrews, as they slave away in Egypt. And it's at that fiery bush that Moses receives his prophetic call to stand up, to stand before Pharaoh and announce loudly and clearly, let my people go. Fire is mentioned in this story of Moses. Moses' epiphany, his encounter with God. But ground, soil, earth is mentioned as well as Moses approaches that spirit-inflamed bush. God says, Moses, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. That plot of sand in Sinai's wilderness is anchoring that spirit-inflamed bush. There is no separation between temporal and eternal, wind and earth. It is all God. Something holy will happen at this moment. And a great movement, one of the greatest movements of human freedom, will be born at that moment of fire, earth, epiphany, God and Moses, heaven and earth connecting. In a moment, after we're filled anew with the Holy Spirit, after we eat the bread of life and drink deeply from the cup of blessing, we're going to make our way out to the south side of the building. And I think the call today is for us not necessarily to take our shoes off because it is wet out there in the parking lot, but instead be mindful that we will be standing on holy ground. And this ground will remind us of why we are taking this monumental step. Someday in the near future, that epiphany, that divine and human encounter will happen in that new third grade Sunday school space, maybe 10 years from now, when a little girl will look up at her teacher and she says, I want to know Jesus. I want to love him. I want to follow him. A burning bush anchored in the soil of holy ground. Or in that youth underground, maybe after an all-nighter of Doritos and Mountain Dew and Bible study and singing and praising, maybe at the end of that night, a teenager says, I want to give my life to Christian vocation, to Christian service. I want to be an agent of change in the world. I want to announce to others that Jesus Christ loves them. I want to serve the church with my life. That space that we're creating is holy ground. And in this new narthex that we'll be creating, maybe it'll be 20 years from now, when on a Saturday afternoon, a father and daughter standing out there ready for her wedding service, they look at one another and they finally see each other for who they are. Divine gift for one another. An epiphany, a holy encounter happening in real time, in real space, standing on holy ground. I've heard of some congregations when they build that before they put down the carpet or the flooring, they'll allow children and youth and adults to put their hands prints on the cement as part of the construction, a reminder that this place is going to serve people. But I wonder if we might be so bold, maybe we won't take our shoes off today. I wonder if maybe we might have an opportunity, or maybe I may sneak and do it if the building committee doesn't allow me to do it, to take off my shoes and to put my feet into that wet cement as a symbol that this space is not just about innovation. It's just not about multipurpose. It's so much more than that. We are creating a field that will anchor burning bush after burning bush after burning bush for generations to come. That is the work we do today. So friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, recognize in a moment that you are standing on holy ground. And with this recognition, I guarantee that this will be one Pentecost Sunday that you'll never forget. Thanks be to God. Amen.